Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Yeah, you're coming into some trippy business there. If it sounds like it was written by an actual composer, it was. Somebody cooked it up for us, if you will. Thank you to listener Todd Kitchen.
ToddKitchen.com.
Todd Kitchen music for all your Todd Kitchen cooking.
You think we're kidding about ToddKitchen.com? We are not.
No.
He is currently a PhD candidate in composition at Brandeis University.
I hope they aren't listening to this because he did this on Thanksgiving.
Woo.
So the sounds of Astro Casio Dog coming to you from beyond the pale are brought to you by an actual future musical professional and current musical professional. Just one who...
Have I ever told you about the stress we dealt with as a family? My brother's name is Todd, and have I told you about how that manifested in a stressful way when we were children?
No.
No.
So when you're kids, you like to see your name in places. So like, I thought Ryan's Steakhouse was cool. We never went because Ryan's Steakhouse is not good. But I thought it was at least cool that was a thing
Ryan
that existed.
Oh, Ryan grew up rich. Is
yeah, wow.
There was only one, and it was like way out in Brandon. So it was more just
Ryan
like,
went to Cornell.
It was highly inconvenient.
Oh, look who's got Brandon, Florida money.
Look who's got Quincy's money.
How dare you? Anyway, so I thought that was cool. My sister, I forget, there was some like local store that had her name on it. But my brother Todd, there was one establishment in the Tampa area that had his name on it in big letters. Spencer, can you please Google for me the Todd Tampa and tell me you get?
Is it time to play my favorite game, strip club or small business? Oh no! Oh no!
Let me read to you the description of the business, which has two locations, one in Tampa on North Nebraska Avenue. Go Huskers.
That's the one I know, yeah.
Yeah, and also one in lively Port Richey. Port Richey most recently in the news for having a mayor who pretended to be a doctor, I think, at one point, who also shot at the cops.
But
recently.
He was a real mayor, right?
Real mayor, real doctor, disbarred, though, for some pretty sketchy stuff. Port Richey, a lot of stuff going on, including Rude. One location of the largest and best adult store in the Tampa Bay area, Todd Couples Superstore.
So the Todd has been...
Oh, Todd Couples, another simple sentence.
The Todd has been in business for, I gotta say, at least over 30 years now. And we would drive by it in the family minivan. And my brother, when he was like, I don't know, 5 or 6, would be like, Mom, that's my name. Can we go in there? Please, please, please. And she'd have to be like, no, I'm sorry, we can't. And he would just be heartbroken every time. The let Todd.
Is it because I need to find another Todd? It's a couple's Todd store.
Let me share a few reviews with you from Google.
Oh, thank God.
The parking lot is well lit and not creepy feeling.
All right.
1-star review from Zia Williams. Drove over an hour to get there and was denied entry because I hate a newborn baby.
What?
I understand no children, but a baby in a mother's arms, comma. Ridiculous.
drove an hour with a newborn.
Here, baby, hold my dildo. I mean, they're made of silicone.
You ready? From Justin Barnard. I came here because my friends and I were shopping for Halloween and I needed a corset.
Oh, sure, for Halloween. Right. That's why everybody goes to the couple superstore.
We stopped at Wawa to eat beforehand and I still had my cream milkshake. It was in a clearly marked Wawa cup, yet they made me throw it away before I could come inside. I can understand if they're worried about alcohol in the store, but it was harmless drink. I've carried drinks into much more nicer and expensive stores without a problem, because other stores do not treat me
Jesus
like a child
Christ.
Who cannot properly hold a drink. I wish I could say the same about this, all caps, adult store. Oh well, no business from me.
I went to the mark down the street, and they let me walk right in with a milkshake.
Wait. Can we send one of these to Jason and have him read it in Herm Edwards' voice? I went to the adult superstore.
I think you got it.
Yes.
I'm always self-conscious about my herm. I feel like I'm not there.
No, you're deputized as
I went to the adult superstore with my newborn baby who to has buy plenty of silicone toys at home. I don't see what harm she could have had batting her little tiny hands at a totally sterile, never been used silicone dick. It's part of nature.
1-star review.
See, sex toys aren't nasty until they go inside you. Like, I don't understand the harm of brand new sex toys.
You peg to win the game.
Wow! Wow! I can't believe you did that.
I'm in charge.
You're our boss.
I'm in charge.
Call me a stun devil. From
fuck me sideways. Well, never mind. I guess that's
the problem. That's what you go to the Todd for.
1-star review from Jan Diaz. I purchased twice tools for my wife and got broken.
Tools!
My wife! Oh my god, we found Todd Couple's wife guy!
Like some guy referring tools. To his wife is like a woodworking project. Anyway.
Well, no, this is what I'm saying. Until you get it home, it's just a piece of wood or silicone, and these things should be like sold at roadsides. They're not nasty until you put them on somebody.
Well, yeah, everybody wants a Shoney's dildo.
Listen, man, that
so Janine went
moves.
Down to the Todd. You know what that means?
Hey,
work time.
Come shake this tree.
When I went back, they did not anything to compensate me, and know just that a guy thread me. It is a very bad customer service, and they sell risky tools.
Risky tools.
That's a really good name.
It's a poor workman who blames the tools.
I think that is an excellent name for such an establishment.
This was not my plan, but I just like to say this is the best possible intro to the 40 for 40 season.
So again, Ryan's brother's name is Todd Nanny.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of business he's in, but please let him know.
He's a doctor in the Navy.
You know what?
You know, his name in German means death nanny.
That's Todd with 1D.
It's fine. We're okay. Just go with it.
No.
Todd.
I think Ryan's brother's name is spelled with 1D.
Wait, Ryan, what does your sister do?
She works in like education development in Southern California.
And you make stickers, huh? How was Thanksgiving?
Love to be disappointing. Didn't have Thanksgiving with my side of the family.
You bought a...
The 40 for 40.
Oh, folks,
returns.
You know what that sound means.
Jumping right. In with both feet into
that dirge.
This year's edition of 40 for 40, the increasingly inefficient and haphazardly arranged collection of micro previews we do for each bowl game of bowl season. We discuss each bowl game with the proper respect and time it deserves. Are some of these 5 minutes long? Yes. Are some of them 30 seconds long? If need be, yes. 40 for 40, an idea that refuses to die, much like this podcast, even though...
Sorry.
Maybe it should.
It was really funny 9 years ago when there were 35 bowls. It was just me and Spencer.
This year, there's a spreadsheet.
This year, there are merely 39 because we have lost one or two along the way. But will the name change to reflect that? No, not until the Big 12 changes its name. The Big 10 never will. Numbers don't mean anything.
You didn't come to college football for math.
This year, we folks out there, time for a little digital media inside football, to use the popular term. When you put out 40 podcasts,
Is this our new podcast without a podcast? Inside Tech.
Is this podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look. Wait, look at the world of Vox Media.
Yeah, we're gonna launch a Vox Media podcast about technology
How does it affect us today? For instance,
brought to you by the Todd Adult Supercenter.
Brought to you
for those of you cosplaying along as all of us at home, this is right when I announced to Twitter that we invented the Shoney's dildo less than 5 minutes into this episode.
So to bring you up on the latest in tech news, there's a very tall Xbox now. And also, when you put out 40 podcast episodes at once, it fucks up your numbers. That's a tech term.
Yeah.
So it's instead,
like,
what we're going
like
to do is we're going to do...
Hey, dummy, don't do that.
We're going to do these as kind of regular-ish episodes. We're going to group these bowl, quote-unquote, previews. They're better than previews because we give you the real facts that the bowls don't want you to know about.
You can say shit.
Facts? I said facts.
You can say shit if you want.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, Ryan, that I'm aware we can say shit based on the things we said in the first 5 minutes of the episode.
Don't shit on your Sony's dildo.
Oh, hey, real quick. If you're listening to this with your kids, go back in time and smack yourself.
It's too late. You've got things to explain. It's too late.
Kimo, you haven't done anything wrong in this episode.
I'm keeping it moving.
This is like the worst thing we've done all year.
I'm oiling the gears. The lubricant, if you will.
Oh, jeez.
By the way, the Las Vegas Bowl used to be sponsored by Industrial Lube.
That's right.
So we're actually been on top
Royal
of
Purple Lube, which all of their promotional materials took care to remind you was lube for cars, not for people.
There is a reason.
That doesn't mean it won't work for people, though.
Okay. Not to let you tell me what to do with your motor oil.
Well, Jason, do you want to explain the premise of this particular package of bowls?
Package. So we broke the bowls up into we wanted to knock out the pre-Christmas ones, and then the later ones are sort of themed. And then we're looking at the list of games in the pre-Christmas bowls, the 10 bowls, and we realized, like, you know, these are all pretty great places to finally begin to finally launch our Due Crimes industry, by which we become crime lords.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the interest of competition, put the market to work for us. Let's have a little internal competition establishing four separate crime empires within these 10 bowl games. So we're going to draft them. And then we're going to, I don't know, I guess may the best crime win.
Yeah, so we're each going to get two of these 10 bowls, and then we're going to leave two bowls open to you, the listener. You can go over to the Shutdown Fullcast Reddit page, and you can tell us what your crime scheme is for those two. Obviously, we won't reveal those until the end when we know what the leftover bowls are. But based on the 10 that we have available to us, they'll be good. They'll be prime for some heavy mafia action.
Prime crime.
Yeah, prime crime. We randomized the selection order. Jason, you have first pick of any of the pre-Christmas bowls.
So, obviously, the Vegas Bowl is sort of the highlight of the pre-Christmas games. It's typically the only one involving a power conference team, often the only one involving a ranked team. It's also Vegas, and this feels like too obvious of a pick in a crime draft. This feels like you're, I don't want to say Chase Young, but it feels like you're Chase Young. I don't mean to impugn his integrity, but just in terms of overall upside.
Well, he committed the crime of taking money and paying it back.
Well, I mean, he did.
Usury.
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
I don't think
he's accomplice to usury.
I'm actually more concerned that I just bought into what you were saying immediately.
So now you know your role in the Crucible, right?
Oh fuck.
Grab a sure rock! That's what, it, what am I doing? Oh god.
I'm pretty sure that's what it means. But the Vegas feels too obvious, but I cannot turn down the Vegas. And here is my plan. All right. Las Vegas.
I saw Goody Harson with the devil. I seen it.
So Las Vegas crime people, they've been going about this all wrong the entire time. Well, not the entire time, but as of late, at least. There is already more than enough crime in Las Vegas. The real money is taking the Las Vegas blueprint and franchising it elsewhere. We need to spread Las Vegas because it is already full to capacity of crime.
Of Las Vegas.
What's that?
You need to make a Riet.
I don't think I know what that means, but that's fine. Because
it's
I'm
meat.
Here to,
it's meat in a can.
I'm here to do crime. Okay. And I don't mean getting like gambling legalized everywhere, because like there are casinos in most states and sports betting is spreading and all that. I mean recreating the conditions that led to a Las Vegas existing in the first place. So until the 1930s, Vegas wasn't a whole lot more than an abandoned Mormon fort that during the Civil War, the Union pretended was an actual fort in order to confuse California Confederates. There were California Confederates. That's fucked up.
Man.
So in the 1930s, we're going to have a Hoover Dam. We're going to build a Hoover Dam. We need people to build it. Federal workers are showing up. This quintuples Vegas' population. The Fed set up Boulder City nearby and try to keep workers from leaving there to go to Vegas to carouse. Because Vegas, as soon as this happens, they're like, hey, let's bring back gambling.
But baby, they got a carouse.
Well, yeah. So their idea was the Fed's idea to keep the carousing within Boulder City was we'll give them all gardens and a theater. Uh-huh. Obviously, this went great. Mm-hmm. The Feds then spent the next 4 years trying to stamp out all the gambling. That went wonderfully perfect. There were no problems. Mm-hmm. The mafia shows up. Bugsy Siegel is routing Midwestern crime money through Mormon banks. The dam is done. The Feds leave. And all right, now we have a big playground of crime. I am not interested in competing with the mafia. In my opinion, that's a terrible idea. Instead, I want to make my own Las Vegas. I want to make new Las Vegas. How are we going to do this? Very close. We're going to remember history because to build a Las Vegas, first you need a dam.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to build it upstream from the Hoover Dam.
Okay.
In diabolical. Lake
Mead, we're going to cut off Hoover Dam's flow of power. Not only do we now get to bring in 50,000 federal workers to put in our rowdy new gambling city we built just for them, we've also stolen all the power from Vegas's casinos.
Wow.
And thanks to the Boise State Broncos and Washington Huskies who are playing in this football game, we have the perfect front man for this whole operation. No one will ever suspect Chris Peterson.
He's too nice.
He's too nice. No one has a single bad thing to say about Chris Peterson. He would never lead a crime ring that is too diabolical even for old Las Vegas.
Can I give you one more wrinkle to this? Where the water was going to the Hoover Dam, get the Boise folks to come down, paint it blue. We know that birds think it's water, so they won't notice that there's no water for weeks.
Yeah. 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 Genius. Ryan, you're in.
Thank you. You're my
assistant crime lord. Also, why Chris Peterson? It's simple. He's already mastered dams. He is 8-1 all time against the Oregon State Beavers.
Oh man.
Foolproof. Well, nearly. It's nearly complete. We'll see if I can pull off the other half of the deal here.
Okay. Damn, that's a good crime.
Damn, I mean, indeed, sir.
I'm not gonna lie.
I want to know at what point though, like, you give up the ghost on the entire scheme, because at one point somebody will go, hey, looks like you're building a dam up there, buddy. No.
They won't notice over all the racket in Las Vegas.
Yeah, right? and he'll just say, you got to talk to the manager about that. He's got the paperwork.
I'll say, hey, come on, it's Chris Peterson.
Yeah.
Shouts out to the Feds, by the way, for thinking that the antidote to gambling was snap peas and Eugene O'Neill plays.
That'll keep the fellas occupied.
This is like when you have a way too rowdy kid and you're like, maybe he needs to be in soccer.
Reading about Vegas history today, it's funny. You mentioned Fallout, because like, I don't even know that we needed this video game. We already have Las Vegas. Like, the history is, there was a point where
maybe people don't know.
That could be, but like, there was a point where they were setting off nukes like alarmingly close to the city.
And, oh yeah. Like,
The hotel.
Oh, I'm not
that...
supposed to say that with enthusiasm.
No.
Okay. Well, Vegas did. That's the thing. Is like the hotel that Howard Hughes camped out in. This hotel during the nuke test was like, come on down for atomic margaritas.
Yeah. And that's how we got Circus.
I'm going to be real honest. I can't really explain to you how aroused the idea of playing roulette while they test nukes behind me and I'm drunk as shit. That makes me really, really excited.
You gotta go to therapy more often.
No, you gotta go.
No, I need to go to Las Vegas more often.
We're gonna start a casino called Todd's, and the whole design, it won't be a pyramid, it won't be an Eiffel Tower, it'll just be a massive phallus towering over the desert.
Sure, great. Holly, you get to follow that with your draft pick.
I fucking hate following Jason for this exact reason. All right. What's the most primitive stable structure you can create? It's a pyramid. Okay. It's a pyramid, right? Okay. Or a teepee.
Yeah. I was going to say a lean-to.
Shanty.
Go to hell, Ryan. Go directly to hell. Anyway, so you need three legs to support even the most rudimentary of chairs, right? Of killer robots, of schemes.
It's true. R2-D2 has three legs.
That is absolutely true. And Right? Wow. I don't feel supported in this.
What? I'm saying things that help. Sort of.
He has his weird third leg.
He does. And C-3PO doesn't. He fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So the Bahamas Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Combines, I'm skipping to the end of my thing. The Bahamas Bowl combines a friendly offshore banking environment with a dedication to protecting user privacy. The brazenness of having a Bahamas Bowl sponsored by franchises and municipal concerns that are not even in the Caribbean, let alone in the Bahamas. And then you add in Buffalo with its adjacency to Canada and cheap prescription drugs and a history of adjacency to New York organized crime. And you throw in Charlotte, which is becoming a tech corridor and therefore will soon become our East Coast Silicon Valley dystopia. That's it. I'm not doing any jokes.
And also you have the Popeyes connection.
Well, yeah.
Another thing that, oh, it's still there. Don't be fooled.
Okay. All right.
So this was a reach at two. I thought this might have been picking a little too early, but I figure between the three of those, this is the most stable combination of location and both visiting teams in terms of high upside crime potential.
I'm going to look real quick, extradition from the Bahamas.
I do know they have laws dedicated to protecting banking clients' privacy. I don't know how they compare to those in the Caymans. Spencer?
Banking, huh? You got Charlotte. So you got a lot of banking going on here.
Yeah. See, my proposed trade was this. I think you already have a natural setup where you take tobacco from North Carolina funneled through Charlotte, send it to Buffalo, smuggle it across the border, because seriously, there's nothing that Canadians love more than smuggling cigarettes into New York. Nothing. Like, nothing will stop it. You can stop cocaine. You can stop heroin. The one thing you can't stop are people trying to get smokes across the border into Canada. So you take that cash, funnel it back through there, down to the Bahamas, trade it for chicken sandwiches, take the chicken sandwiches back up to Charlotte, which has no culture whatsoever. You drop some You drop some Popeyes on them, they're going to think that you're Marco Polo coming back with spaghetti, right?
He's just reading over my shoulder.
People are forced to eat Bojangles and you give them Popeyes and you're hailed as a god.
No, you're already, seriously, you're already regarded as a god there. They're like, what is this spice?
Basically, have you seen The Gods Must Be Crazy? This is my plan, only the Coke bottle falls in Buffalo.
Ah, they do have an extradition treaty. I'm sorry.
Oh, fuck.
Buffalo doesn't.
That's
fair. They say they have one. Yeah, Buffalo doesn't. Please, like anyone, you don't need an extradition treaty if it's Buffalo. They're just going to leave voluntarily.
I mean, they do call themselves the Bills Mafia, so.
See? Mm-hmm. The setup is here.
Yeah. Spencer, you have the third pick.
I do. And with my first pick in the draft, I am going to simultaneously select the following locales. I'm going to select Boca Raton twice.
Okay.
And I'm going to select Dallas.
Both Boca Raton.
I'm going to select the rat and the mouth.
And so Dallas is your other choice?
And Dallas via SMU. Because FAU versus SMU is not just a matchup of two teams that had unexpectedly brilliant years. No. This to me is a marriage of two outstandingly sketchy places with a lengthy history of crime and illicit behavior. I don't really have to sell this to you because it starts at a place that most people think is called Rat's Mouth. That might not be a better nickname than anything else for a place where you're going to commit all the crimes, but I should point out the actual meaning is mouse mouth in Spanish. However, I should point out too, mice steal things. In fact, mice are cute, and that's kind of made them a more effective criminal network than rats because it makes them better criminals by being adorable. Think about it.
It's certainly going to work for us.
In Florida, mice end up with theme parks and ESPN, and rats end up dead in traps. So really, you want the raton, not the rateau. Boca's pre-wired for crime. It's on the county line already for the petty stuff, and it's got water exits to the east and to the west. I recommend you take the one to the east. The one to the west is the Glades, man. You don't want that. But if you really got to hide out there, You can hide anything in the Everglades because nobody wants to be out there ever. The Mafia is already there. It's home to Ponzi scheme greats like Scott Rothstein and, yes, the King Bernie Madoff, who had a house there before the feds confiscated it. FAU, the institution itself, already had turned down a stadium rights deal back in 2013 with the GEO Group. If you're not familiar with the GEO Group, that is a for-profit prison company founded by an alum. They did eventually turn that down, thus disappointing everyone who fully expected them to take it. Me, namely. The team led Conference USA in interceptions and a second in fumbles. Theft is built into their game. They never scored on any of those INTs, though, and that's why we're going to need a courier. We need somebody to get them across the goal line, okay? And get the package, if you will, to the end zone. Listener, I ask you, who in the history of college football has been better at securing the bag and delivering it across the goal line than SMU? No one. The Pony Express itself. Dallas already has a long and proven history of moving contraband, but you know what? Don't limit them just to that. I could call this a simple cocaine ring, but I won't, because Dallas has been capable of larger crimes. Hey, what other city in the United States covered up the murder of a president? No one. Dallas, you're the king of crime.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Boca.
Boca? Not that we know of.
McKinley died in Boca. People don't talk about it.
McKinley staggered that far. He got shot. And like every good Republican was like, oh, I gotta go to Florida. Oh, I'm from Ohio.
I love the weather. Gathering down along there. The side of the road. Just let him keep walking.
Yeah, let him keep lurching.
He's Maybe heading he'll home. Find health.
He'll find the fountain of youth down there in Florida. McKinley lurched 900 miles and then died somewhere outside of Perkins in Boca Raton, Florida. The dream of every Ohioan, to die gut shot and happy in a parking lot of a Perkins in Florida. I made it! Go Browns!
Tiger was right!
Tiger was right! Go Bucks! Yeah, it's another mobbed up town with heavy crime connections. I'm kind of surprised, by the way, that the Boca Raton Bowl with SMU and FAU isn't already some kind of setup. I will also say this. Whatever criminal enterprise we decide to pony up for here, Sonny Dykes is coached in Berkeley, Lubbock, and Ruston, Louisiana. Even if he's not a ringleader, that dude ain't saying shit.
All right, I have back-to-back picks now.
Serpentine!
I am going to use my first pick on I couldn't bring up the Todd and not pick the Tampa option on this list, the Gasparilla Bowl.
Brian, you know if you didn't, we were just gonna not pick anything else until you did.
I know. Yeah. So the Gasparilla Bowl, formerly known as the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. I haven't looked at the Beef O'Brady's menu, and I feel like that's Holly's honor to do. So Holly, if you want to peruse it well and prepare some tasty amuse-bouche from that, feel
this
free.
This is a makeup call, and I am taking it.
Then there is... So it was formerly sponsored by Beef O'Brady's, formerly known as the Bitcoin Bowl.
Oh my God.
And formerly known as the Magic Jack Bowl.
Hollywood. Do you know where the first one was?
The first Beef O'Brady's?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Brandon, Florida.
Okay. Yeah, that tracks.
Do you know what the guy's name who invented it was?
Brandon.
Jim! Do you know what his wife's name was?
Denise?
Close. Jeanette.
Jesus, Jeanette.
All right. Sorry, keep going. I'm going to make a menu quiz.
No, it's cool.
Spencer, no peeking.
So we have UCF in this bowl, best known for trying to slap some paint on a season and call it a national championship. We have Marshall in this bowl. They're from bootlegging country. And I think you can see where I'm hopefully going with this. This is also the bowl that used to be played in the world's dumbest baseball stadium. It is now played as of last year in Raymond James, same place where the Outback Bowl is played. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of sort of like making things look like something they're not. So this is my plan for how to commit crimes via this game. The sponsor of this bowl, Bad Boy Mowers, Outlaw, Compact Outlaw for Life. I think we all know and love.
Agreed.
This is also your reminder that Bad Boy Mowers are expensive as shit. Like, I'm on the website now, and the Compact Outlaw...
They ain't called Broke Boy Mowers.
Again, $6,300. Price is from $6,300 for that. You can go all the way up to the most expensive is the Diesel Outlaw Renegade for $13,599.
You trying to tell me you could buy a real tricked out Honda Fit, or you could buy that mower?
So here's my thing. Look at, to the untrained eye, these
are
just
find those.
These are just lawnmowers that have like a bright orange color, to kind of like a Home Depot orange. So what I'm saying is, we sell lawnmowers at the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. They're just regular mowers, possibly even used shitty mowers, but we paint them orange and we pass them off to people as like, oh yeah, 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 you got a great deal. You can get we can definitely get you an Outlaw Rebel. Normally goes for $7,500. If you buy it today and you write us a check or have cash, you can have it for $5,000. But they got to buy it then and they got to take it home with them. Now, you're probably thinking, who are the kind of people who are going to go to a bowl game and buy a lawnmower? It's the same people who were going to a bowl game in a terrible baseball stadium, so I'm not too worried about that part. By the time they realize that they get the lawnmower home, they realize they've been had, the bowl game's over and we're in the wind. And nobody ever knows. And they're just going to take it up with the Bad Boy Lawnmowers people, not us, because we're just people who were at the bowl game. And like everybody else in Tampa, we all look alike, kind of sad and sleepy.
Ryan, as a lawyer,
yeah,
how little do you need to change the name of what you're selling in order to sneak it past? Can you go like B-A-D-D-B-O-Y-Z?
Bat Boy?
Bat Boy?
Like
Batman? Batman,
yeah.
Mowers?
Yeah, and to be honest, some of these do sort of look like the most recent Batmobile, or the like the Tumblr Batmobiles. So I think we can get away with that.
This is the orange Tumblr.
Listen to me, Lawn.
So yeah, that's my plan for the Gasparilla.
I'm not wearing jean shorts. Can we make up names?
For these mowers? Like, sure. Yeah, yeah. Just sort of give me a name that you think sounds tough. And
the Desperado. This is the Bow Outlaw.
Yep, that'll work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The big mean villain.
Yep. The Orca.
This one here is the Krautlaw. The Orca. Yeah.
The only unfortunate thing is the push mowers are just called push mowers. They don't get a fancy name.
Because they want you to sound like a weakling, even though you're actually doing work.
Yeah.
That's the fucked up part.
Those still cost $1,100.
Okay.
So. $1,100.
This was called The Outlaw. It's named after the American drama series starring Jimmy Smits about the law in Memphis.
So that's the other thing, is I feel like Bad Boy Mowers can't come after us because that undercuts their whole Bad Boy. Like, what's less bad?
I can run faster than any mower.
What's less Bad Boy than suing someone for fraudulently marketing your product? That's not Bad Boy. That's not Outlaw.
Man, they're just going to show. Listen, if you just said, listen, I mean, the guys who made Bad Boy Mowers are two brothers from rural Arkansas. Yeah. I know how this is going to end. They're going to show up and they're going to beat me with a bike chain. Now, counterpoint, can I make more than $68,000? The sum that I have decided in my head is the required amount of money for me to take the ass beating and make it worth it. I don't know. I think I could do it for like 68, 70 grand. You can beat me with a bike chain for a minute, big old redneck. That'd be fine.
I think, you know what happens when you rip off Bad Boy Mowers? So like you're hauling ass out of town. And then you look in the rearview mirror and you see, here they come. Some big ass orange mowers peeling down the highway faster than your car somehow.
Is it doing a 180? Dear Christ.
It's loud. It's the loudest thing on earth. Just chops you all up.
Spencer, I just sent you an important Instagram.
On their Instagram, they have a skeleton with lit up eyes and a Bad Boy Mowers hat sitting on, like, I guess the, I guess what, judging by the seat size, is the Stout Law. It says, it says bad to the bone on it. The bone is in festive Halloween orange. It has 139 likes.
140 now.
Yeah.
So that's my first pick. Holly, do you have a, do you want to do the menu quiz?
I do.
Are you prepared?
I am.
Okay.
I'm always prepared.
Yeah, go ahead.
Spencer, do you want to explain the history of what we've done here while I round up just a couple more things?
This is where I will also let people know that to prove more of my Tampa bona fides, I have had breakfast instead of Beef O'Brady's.
Tell us everything.
It was to watch the World Cup.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah, It still was Beef O'Brady's for breakfast.
I think you're trying
Beef
to...
Beef O'Breakfast.
This is like when the politician eats the corn dog. That thing about Ryan's Steakhouse, you're still trying to make up for that.
Mm. So the history...
I think what we need from you, Ryan, is for you to say that you love to eat at Beef O'Brady's every day because that's where honest Americans...
No.
No?
They put a new location. It's not there anymore. Pretty close to my parents' house. And the only good thing about it was that they had a big NBA Jam Tournament Edition cabinet in the front of the house, like by the podium where you'd check in. So you could just go there and not eat Beef O'Brady's and play NBA Jam. And that was pretty good. It was right next to the Winn-Dixie. So
Beef O'Brady's was like for people who were too insecure to eat at Bennigan's.
Yikes.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't know. Bennigan seems too sincere. And right. My heart has been hurt by chain restaurants.
Bennigan's before. Is too ethnic.
Yeah. Give me something a little more masculine, because Bennigan's could seem kind of fey. It is just one word. I need two words, including one, which is overly masculine and stupid. How about Beef O'Brady's?
That's right. Put the O in weird scare quotes.
Well, like, yeah, that makes it less ethnic. It's not even Irish.
That they doubled up and made a stupidly cartoonish Irish name an O'Brady.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's like putting two Macs on a Scottish name, like Mac McManahan.
Well, and there's the two little apostrophes like surrounding the O.
Yeah.
Which is not a real thing.
It's especially unfortunate because the way to refer to it in shorthand is to call it either beefs or beefos. And I'm not making that up. Like in high school, if somebody was like, "Hey, we're going to beefs," that's a thing that you would say. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So about the menu quiz, which we started many years ago when this menu was deep and ridiculous, and I hate to say that in recent years it's been homogenized down into a just kind of a Midwestern slop. You know, they have taken all the cool name. Most of the cool names have been taken off of things. And now, like, the spiciest thing you'll find on the menu is a fresh Angus cheeseburger wrap.
It used to be about the IRA cheese poppers, damn it.
It used to be. Okay, so what I've done here is make up a kind of a historical quiz. I'm going to ask you guys five multiple choice questions. Each of them are going to contain two items that are now or were previously honest to God real Beef O'Brady's menu items, and one is made up. I then have two tiebreaker questions just in case at the end.
Okay.
All right, you ready? Spencer cannot see me. I have turned my laptop. Also, it's been a few years since we've done this, so hopefully you've all forgotten. All right, we're going to start with an easy one because this is the warm-up. Spot the fake Bake Beef O'Brady's menu item. Is it A, Kickin' Bayou barbecue wings? Is it B, OMG pretzel roll sliders?
Wow.
Or is it C, the corned beef wonton?
I feel like C is real.
I
think C is the one she tries to trick us with every year, but we can't remember if it's real or fake.
We've definitely heard that.
Want to be real.
But yeah, Spencer's problem is that he wants this to be real, whether it is or not.
What's the first one?
Kickin' Bayou barbecue wings.
I think that's real.
Yeah, and I think the second one is real. I'm going to go with C, the corned beef wonton.
The corned beef wonton is the one I try and trick you with every year, and you always fall for it, which is awesome.
I was going to say B is fake, and I still think this is correct, even though you've already given us the correct answer.
B is actually still on the menu and should be fake.
How could anything about pretzels be OMG?
I don't know, but these are the people who have a top shelf Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, give me the good toilet.
Give me the good shit.
Who would like to guess which top shelf liquors are in the top shelf Long Island iced
tea? Okay,
Sky Vodka.
Can you tell us the liquor and we will try to guess the brand?
Oh, yes. Okay, hang on. We will do that at the end.
By the way, what a desperate cocktail that they named it after Long Island. Like, that's not a part of the country where you'd go, a drink named after that, it must be reputable and
Carrie,
safe.
He said it, I didn't.
Billy Joel approved!
Yikes. No, he would have just called it a suicide, which is absolutely what it is, a grown-up suicide.
I wrote a song about Long Island iced teas, okay. It's called Side of a House!
Okay, so anyway, we're going to do the Long Island iced tea last. Let's do it. Okay. Question two.
Yeah.
Spot the fake Beef O'Brady's menu item. Is it green cheese bacon pub chips, beefalo wings?
No, that's real. That's
or
real.
Funnel cake fries.
Wow.
It's one or three.
I feel like one is the fake.
Jason,
what was one again?
Green cheese bacon pub chips.
The problem is that three might be the answer because it feels aggressively like a White Castle item.
Mm-hmm.
But I still, my heart says
now
one.
I did give you a slight hint in that this menu has skewed heavily Midwestern and way away from the quirky in the past few years.
One feels like the false.
I'm gonna say one is fake because that sounds Irish and they are explicitly not Irish.
Yeah.
Oh, but I said this could be a historical menu item.
Yeah, I still feel like one is not right.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with one because three sounds like something that caused a histrionic shit that a Midwesterner would tell you about the next morning, right? Like, I had 19 beers, then I had some green cheese chips. Holy God.
Gentlemen, I have snookered you all. The answer is beefalo wings.
No! Wow!
Ryan was in on it. Ryan was
Which
in
I
on
cannot
it from the
believe
beginning.
Are not real.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, the green cheese, I assume the green denotes Ireland, and funnel cake fries are a new addition.
Yeah.
I've never seen those before this year.
I had three plates of those and 19 beers and four Long Island iced teas. I watched the Packers game. I went home. I woke up the next morning. Holy shit. It was like Fallujah in my bathroom.
All right. Question three. Spot the fake Beef O'Brady's menu item.
Okay.
Is it A, Tipperary tuna tacos?
Sorry, what was that? Was that temporary that you
Tipperary.
Said?
Sorry, oh, okay. Tipperary. Sorry, Tipperary. As in long way to Tipperary.
Long Island tuna tacos.
Okay. It's a fucking city. The steak burrito with the in quotes.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about that one before.
Or Nachos O'Brady.
Oh, boy.
You might have hoodwinked us again, but I'm going to have to go with one.
No, I don't think it's one because one is too plain.
Tipperary is a city in Ireland.
I think it's I feel like Nachos,
which
O'Brady,
I must point out, is not by the water, so don't eat the tuna tacos.
You know, in future years we should have Holly give us a description of each item that she has to prepare as well.
Ooh, okay.
Nachos O'Brady.
What if in future years we actually prepare and sample each dish?
Okay, I mean,
we're taking Alex to Tampa. Let's go.
Let's see, Beef O'Brady's locations.
No, don't do this yet. We got to finish the quiz.
I'm sorry, yeah.
All right.
Oh, wow, they're all the way up in Kentucky now. Shit.
Oh, God, it's spreading. Oh, that explains the funnel cake fries.
All right, Spencer and Holly, I need you to help me pronounce this. This is a town in Tennessee. I'm going to spell it. O-O-L-T-E-W-A.
Oh, that's Ottawa.
Ottawa, yeah.
Yeah. No, Ottawa. My brother broke his leg there in a football game.
All right, yeah. So there's a Beef O'Brady's in Ottawa.
I'm sorry, it's pronounced Ottawa?
Yeah,
right.
It's Ottawa.
So there's an Ottawa Beef O's.
I knew what he was going to say as soon as you said
O-O. Oh. Oh, oh. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
no,
Ottawa.
No, it's right up. It's actually really fairly close to you, Ryan. It's right above Chattanooga on 75.
We will have to.
I think it's like the midpoint for all of us.
Oh.
Oh. meetup.
Oh God, it's the Nexus.
I think, by the way, we need to do this one. We need to have a Tennessee pronunciation quiz on one episode. It's like Lebanon. How do you pronounce that? Lebanon?
Lebanon. I know that one.
I love how you can do this for every Southern state. Like yesterday I was explaining to my daughter the difference between Ponce de Leon and Ponce de Leon.
Yeah.
Try Albany.
Cairo. Cairo is my favorite universal. Like Cairo, as in on the shores of the Nile. Nope. That's Cairo.
All right. Sorry. Holly, what is the... I don't think we've landed on an answer. I'm going to say Nacho Zobrady is the false entry.
Spencer?
I'm still going with one.
Tipperary tuna tacos?
Yep.
Jason?
I'm going with one because it's Irish. They're fake Irish.
That is fake. You're correct. Tipperary tuna tacos is fake. Nachos O'Brady is still real.
Damn it. I knew that one. I knew Nachos O'Brady was real.
Thank you. Thank you. You're very smart. Big boy.
I just remember nachos.
Our big smart boy. Okay. Dessert section. Spot the fake Beef O'Brady's menu item. A, the disgustingly named chocolate eruption cake.
Disagree.
In special partnership with the Todd.
Is it B, the somehow more disturbingly named, even only in implication, signature Irish limeade? Or is it C, Sunday Bloody Sunday?
It has to be C. Wow. It has to be C. C cannot be real.
C isn't real, but I want it to be.
C is a good choice.
Which, I gotta remind y'all that signature Irish limeade is real, so every time you get one of these right, it's actually worse.
We're ratifying the existence of the others. You're right.
Alright, final menu item question, and then we'll enter the lightning round. Cocktail menu. A. Beef-o-Rita. Ugh.
That's another one I feel like she either tries to trick us with every year or tricks us with because it's real and I can't remember.
A, the Beef-o-Rita. B, the... Okay, keep in mind, two of these are real. Yeah. A, Beef-o-Rita. B, the Bloody O'Brady. Or yeah. C, the Moscow Mule.
The Moscow Mule, I will say, is real because that is so lazy. And I apologize, Holly, if it's the one you made up. But the Moscow Mule just feels like they're like, yeah, I don't know, put it on the menu, whatever.
What was the first one?
The Beef-o-Rita, the Bloody O'Brady, or the Moscow Mule?
I'm going to say the Moscow Mule's fake.
I'm going to say the Beef-o-Rita is fake because I think the pattern so far has been that they will call something blank O'Brady. They will not use beef attached to a non-beef item.
The Beef-o-Rita is left over.
That's the one I'm saying. Leftover. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll take the one that's left over.
Okay. The Bloody O'Brady.
Smart.
Ryan, your strategy was sound, but these people don't deserve it. The Moscow Mule is fake.
No! Yes!
The Beef-o-Rita is real.
No.
All right. Lightning round. True or false? The Beef-o-Brady's menu website currently lists a how-to diagram for the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine.
Yes, true.
True.
Correct. B. Question two in the lightning round. Closest to it without going over. How many varieties of barefoot wine are available on the Beef-o-Brady's menu?
Five.
Jason?
One.
I'm sorry. The answer is four.
Damn it! Wow.
Which I didn't even know there were that many.
Closest without going over.
But here's the thing. You can't, they also put them in the freestyle machine so you can mix them.
Oh God. Oh man.
Lightning round. Let's keep going.
All right, guys. It's time for the final question. It's time to guess the ingredients in the top shelf Long Island iced tea.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Vodka. Whoever can guess it first wins.
Okay.
Absolute.
No. Oh, yes. God damn it.
Wow.
All right. Here,
I actually want to sit back and just see if Spencer can nail all of them.
Okay.
Let's Spencer, do it. You're
this is your time.
Do you know how much drinking I've done in my life?
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Spencer's got one. Good.
Rum.
Let's see. It wouldn't be Malibu. It's going to be...
this is an easy one.
Bacardi.
Of course it is. Gin. Kind of a curveball here.
Hendrix?
Tanqueray.
Tanqueray.
Hendrix. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know. It's top shelf.
Tequila.
Tequila, I feel like they're gonna
You're not gonna get this.
Cabo Wabo.
First of all, I didn't know you put tequila in a Long Island. But no, you're not gonna get this one. But Patron Orange.
Oh,
Patron Orange.
Yeah.
Damn, they would No, this is a quality Long Island iced tea.
Sour mix and a splash of Coca-Cola.
How much is this beverage?
It doesn't say.
That's good.
I assume this is because I'm a lady and it wants the gentleman to pay.
I'm gonna guess they sell this thing for $17.
That seems fair. Yeah, but I bet they have deals on it that lead to a lot of DUIs.
They do have a drink that's just called the Mule, which.
So to be clear, when I said Moscow Mule was too lacy,
the other
they said, no, sir, we can do worse.
I thought you were going to be, to be fair, I thought you would get it too easily if I said the Piña Colada. But
that sounds great.
Maybe we'll try that again. There are a lot of different kinds of rum on this menu.
The one part of this menu I will not take any issue with.
They got Cruzan, Malibu, and Bacardi.
Of course they do. The one part of this menu I will take no issue with is a diagram showing how to use that Coca-Cola machine.
I actually might print this out and take it to cookout.
Because you see people get lost in the matrix in those things, man.
Mm-hmm.
You see people and go, I don't know if they're coming back.
Meemaw's just standing at the multiplex and Spencer's grizzled hand just slaps a laminated diagram on the thing next to her. Just get Seagram's with lemon.
I have explained to people at Zaxby's on two different occasions how to use that machine.
I bet you have.
And that's why you're going to the good place. Mm. All right, the draft is...
Folks, thank you for the menu.
The draft is halfway over. I'll kick it back off. This is my last pick. I'm taking the New Mexico Bowl. Obviously we're very pissed that they did not respond to our very generous offer.
Silence is consent.
Of a sponsorship that involved $0. So let's review. This game is played in a stadium that is named after a construction firm, Dream Style, and a field that is named after two local attorneys. Their website is a fucking mess. They misspell the names of the people who make the pottery trophies that are given out with this game. Good job. Also, the bowl history on the website lists all of them as the Gildan New Mexico Bowl, even though that has not been true for the last 2 years, and mm-hmm. It was not true for the first, 5 years of this bowl game.
So once we do sponsor this game, we'll have sponsored all of them?
Correct. No. Yes, they will all have been the Banner Society,
hey,
New Mexico.
We may not
Bowl.
Have money, but unlike their last title sponsor, we have a real fucking company.
We exist.
Rude. And hurtful.
As of now, Jim Bankoff, don't listen to this, please. So the other thing about this, Jason, I am correct that this is the first bowl game, right? On the calendar?
The New Mexico?
Yeah.
It usually is.
It's often one of the very first. I don't have the actual schedule right
now. Okay. Basically, this game is littered with lies. The teams that are playing in this are...
The Bahamas is the first this year.
Damn it! It's fine. It doesn't matter for my purposes. The teams in this game are Central Michigan and San Diego State. Nobody's going... Here's what I'm proposing. We're going to take a page from the hit movie, the hit documentary, Speed... And we're actually just going to play old footage of other New Mexico bowls.
Pop quiz, hot shot!
And claim that as this year's New Mexico Bowl. There is no title sponsor, so there is nobody to get pissed about, hey, I spent all this money and you didn't actually play a bowl game. ESPN is still going to get to broadcast something. I don't even remember if this is one of the ESPN bowls or not, but somebody will get it on television, and it will probably do about the same ratings-wise as the actual game between these two teams would do. And the only people who are going to get mad are the people who bought tickets to the New Mexico Bowl. And by the time their complaints surface to the press, we'll be deep in bowl season. Everybody's going to go, fuck those babies who got cheated out of a New Mexico Bowl game. We're here to talk about the good shit.
I was trying to do the Speed theme on the recorder, but I didn't have time to practice.
No, it's fine. So all I want to do is not...
My heart was in it.
All I want to do is cancel the New Mexico Bowl and keep all the ticket proceeds for ourselves.
Smart.
And it didn't have to be this way, because if they had just accepted our sponsorship offer, we could have played the game and we could have talked about it. But now...
Yeah, we tried to do this the right way.
Now, official Banner Society policy, the New Mexico Bowl is not happening this year.
I like that we have created a protection racket for bowl games.
That's right. Be ashamed if something happened to your beautiful December 22nd bowl game.
Your beautiful bowl game, whose previous sponsor was fake.
Enjoy Christmas at the Phoenix Airport, suckers.
And your previous sponsor was shitty t-shirts. That's right.
Scratchy. Yeah. Scratchy as hell, yeah. Unlike Home Field Apparel.
Also, what, now that we're set up in New Mexico, we can cook meth.
What do? Shoot the guy in the jacket. Shoot the guy in the colorful jacket.
Shoot the guy in the unmarked t-shirt.
That's right. It's perfect, Jesse.
I don't actually know this analogy.
Spencer, you are next up.
Is that from Claws?
It was even Shoot the Hostage.
That's not even the same thing. That's a hostage situation. Have you even seen Speed?
I like how you asked that like it was a requirement at film school. Oh, yeah? Did you see Speed?
How dare you? Jan de Bont ushered in an era.
Spencer, I find this evasive. Have you seen Speed?
Yes, I have seen Speed.
Okay.
For context, it's probably time to confess, since we've all known each other for a long time, that this is, for some reason, the movie I've probably seen more than any other movie in my life.
Did you see Speed for course credit at the University of Florida?
No, I did
not. No, but only because it was 1997 and he was still in general ed courses that year.
Wow.
I'm going to move on to my bowl game. Okay, which is between App State and UAB. That is the NOLA Bowl. We are in the New Orleans Bowl. And naturally, I'm going to draft the bowl game that takes place in New Orleans. But
I'm not respecting your time. You can keep talking.
I'm going to try to cite the criminal assets of the participants and the participating institutions, because I assume you already have a lofty appreciation of New Orleans' extensive criminal background and history as a den of iniquity. Okay.
You can't really do half steps on this thing.
So there's nothing especially crazy about Boone, North Carolina. However, I will say this.
Counterpoint. When my high school boyfriend went there for a college visit, he and his very buttoned up parents walked into his dorm and were met, almost run down, by a young man wearing a gold lamé thong and a child's Halloween costume pair of angel wings on a skateboard, who turned out to be his RA.
That
App State is terrific.
That, and I know a couple of other things about it. The town is named after Daniel Boone, the original. Screw y'all, I'm going to the mountains. Also, in his personal life, he spent a lot of time moving and leaving creditors behind. That's a good start.
Very fluid.
For a participant in the New Orleans Bowl. It's Appalachia. I assume a kind of anti-authoritarianism bordering on outlaw behavior is just waiting to occur. There's tons of weed and a ton of weed growing up there. And in addition to that, the program has committed murder because it killed the Michigan football program in 2007. Outlaw all the way. UAB? Well, first of all, Peaky Blinders is set in Birmingham. Is it the wrong Birmingham? Is it? Is it? That's a debate I'd like to start. The football program?
Fake their own death to get out of old debts?
I that's the next point.
Is there a right Birmingham?
No, there is no right Birmingham. And the accent is weird no matter which one it is. This is a program that faked their own death and came back to life mysteriously, just walked back in a couple of years later like, hey guys, wasn't that crazy? Had a whole funeral for me and everything.
That was worse than my Herm Edwards.
That's completely on brand here. Birmingham itself, the city, has a notorious unsolved axe gang murder case, which killed or injured dozens.
I'm sorry, did you say axe gang?
God, yeah. Crime used to be so much jauntier.
There was an axe gang, and they never really caught who did all of it, even though it killed or injured dozens of people.
How do you not catch axe gangs? they're the guys with the axes.
I guess people...
I'm not here to tell law enforcement how to do their jobs, but I guess, imagine them in the lineup. Oh, hey, him there. Yeah, it's Hatchet Larry.
The only other axe gang
he's carrying a concealed axe.
I guess everybody in the 1920s in Birmingham just walked around with an axe, so it's like, it could be anyone!
Well, you needed one for personal protection.
Well, because the axe gang was out there, so you better get an axe. Axes don't kill people. People kill people.
With axes.
I think the solution is to give every teacher an axe.
Actually, the solution is the axe gun, a gun that shoots axes.
Shit, yes.
Did I mention, by the way, that Birmingham's legendary legless coroner could not solve this case?
Now I have to ask, how did he lose the legs, and was it axe related?
One of them was a factory accident. Do you know how he lost
an axe factory?
Yes, an axe factory in Birmingham's bustling axe-based comedy.
The axe factory exploded and everyone lost their legs.
Actually, the second one is nuts because it was like,
the first one was very sedate, so I'm glad you brought this up.
It was a guy, the second one was blown off in a train bombing.
What?
That was started, and it, like, the whole scheme was carried off by a guy who was trying to kill one person on the train. So he's like, I'll just blow up the whole train car.
Did it work?
No. No, it didn't. So, yeah. Also, Birmingham, solid Dixie Mafia town, and the home of a recent fraud case where multiple Auburn athletes testified, including Takeo Spikes and Charles Barkley.
How do you even get Takeo Spikes into a witness box?
One limb at a time.
You lower him like a statue.
No, I mean, like, do you just let him, like, stand next to it and just put a hand on the booth? Like, does he swear on the booth?
I think he swears on his neck. It's like this powerful volume.
You put a Jay Fiedler doll inside and he just tackles it.
That's right. This bowl game is also, by the way, sponsored by R&L Carriers. I wasn't joking about Canada's passion for black market cigarettes, because R&L Carriers is a sponsor. In 2013, they had to pay $140,000.
Can we go back to the legless coroner?
Oh yeah, he actually is responsible for a good chunk of the modern police investigation book, because he taught everybody how to do criminal investigations, because the coroner actually drew up the case for murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. He drew up the case for murder and he handed it to the judge, and the judge was like, oh, that's the case. Here, prosecutor, do this.
I feel bad imagining him, like, on the train, and he's like, oh boy, train's late again. But at least I have my one.
You'll never guess who was in the train car. Who? Oh man, it was one-legged Harvey. Well,
you know,
Harvey's like, Thursdays, man.
You know what he didn't lose everything in the bombing, though? Dude had 9 kids, and that's before he started adopting. And that's after he lost both legs.
I would like to point out that the New Orleans Bowl has the
two of his legs.
The New Orleans Bowl has the most impressive shade of any bowl game listing right now. They have this is the game where they have a concert.
Were they still throwing a terrible concert?
They are. And this is one where they had Better Than Ezra 1 year. They did like a big 90s rap concert 1 year. This year, the photo for the Friday night concert, it features the B-52s, and it says with special guest Berlin. And right below that photo, which somebody uploaded to the New Orleans Bowl website, it says, 2019 Friday night concert, talent announcement coming soon.
Got him.
This is the only bowl game I have an actual criminal plot attached to.
Do you think if we showed up and said it was on the itinerary for us to do a live podcast that anyone would question us?
No.
Boy, they came with a lot of axes.
They did. What are they? Axe Gang Podcast.
I only have one, so you guys are going to have to bring your own, and it's really more of a hatchet.
When I mentioned Axe Gang, I just think of...
podcast name to Axe Gang?
We should.
Podcast Axe. Axe P-A-P-N. Got it. Got there.
I'm going to the bag policy. I'm control effing Axe. No results. We're good.
All right. Solid. My criminal enterprise here, by the way, is this. What does Boone have a lot of? Weed. What does New Orleans have a lot of? Fattening food. What does UAB thrive on? Particularly their research institution and attached hospital. It is the nation's leading institute for obesity research. I think you see the connection here. We take weed from Boone, bring it down to the subjects in Birmingham, keep them enrolled, take them down to New Orleans, fatten them up, send them back up to Birmingham, do a little more research, just repeat the cycle over and over again, and make all three cities fatter and happier than they already are.
Good plan. Needs more axes, but...
I think we can find some axes in Birmingham, because you know what? There's one thing my daddy taught me. Birmingham, that's an axe town. You better ask somebody.
Appalachian State.
I'm happy to report that this conversation led me on a Google result to a Smithsonian magazine article called "The Axemen of New Orleans Preyed on Italian Immigrants."
Oh no!
God,
no, that one's scary. That one is deeply
scary.
As opposed to the unsolved X-game murder.
I didn't actually mean the other one was jaunty. I just said it was jauntier.
Spencer, what are your city X-gang rankings?
City X-gang rankings. One, I have to put New Orleans first because the New Orleans axe murderer is mega super terrifying because they actually sent letters. They did that thing where they said, hey, ooh, I'm a scary killer. The Alabama axe gang, a little more random, a little more spread out, not quite as, you know, terrifying and cinematic, I think, as the Alabama axe gang murders. Finally, the third scariest axe gang is the 300 to 500 strong axe gang in Jackie Chan's Drunken Master 2 that just attacks him for no reason for like half the movie.
A lot of these people, for the record, in the New Orleans axemen were attacked with their own axe, which is an amazing phrase that is in police reports from years gone by.
And betrayed! Lucille, how could you?
Holly, you're up next.
So this brings up a little bit of discussion because we had discussed whether to even include the Cure Bowl in the draft. Because as we have mentioned on previous versions of 40 for 40, the Cure Bowl is staged in support of BCRF, which is the only breast cancer charity that I would feel comfortable donating to. They are very highly regarded, relatively low overhead, especially for an organization their size. Their money goes directly to science. It's terrific. And then Liberty got picked for the Cure Bowl. And I don't know, there is just something about this football program and cutting edge medical procedures and privately held companies and doctors that who may or not be actual doctors that I thought maybe under this umbrella of well-earned goodwill from BCRF, I might be able to exploit. I'm just speculating. Anyway, we should move along to Jason's pick.
Holly's got Liberty. That's enough of a crime ring.
Looking
right
forward
there.
To Banner Society's investigative reporting in 2020. Anyway.
Yeah, don't, by the way, don't let Georgia Southern off the hook here. Statesboro. They get away with some shit.
Oh, yeah. What has Statesboro law enforcement gotten up to recently? Weird.
So, with the
they can
final
bring the
pick
cocaine.
Here,
oh, my birds, God. If Statesboro law enforcement.
There's cocaine falling from the sky.
How would Statesboro's law enforcement handle snow?
If they try to plant someone Hugh Freeze before the game to get him off the sideline. And
so Hugh Freeze is like, you swapped my cocaine with worse cocaine.
There's snow in Statesboro. These motherfuckers are arresting the street.
Hugh Freeze is coaching in a back to tank from jail.
Quick, shoot the clowns. God's dumping his stash.
Nice try, fucker.
Hugh Freeze is like, ha ha, you fuckers, you put cocaine in my left pocket, but you didn't check my right pocket where I have all my cocaine. And my crushed cocaine. Up horse tranquilizers.
Listen, out there, any cops with the sound of our voices, please. Hugh Freeze has cocaine. Do something.
So mad when this podcast gets submitted to a judge for a search warrant.
Are you?
It's the only college football podcast, Your Honor. They can't lie.
They seem reputable to me.
Ryan, you've been a lawyer and you're really good at acting put upon. Can you even imagine trying to depose Spencer?
Go ahead, do that right now. Just demonstrate what that
Spencer,
would sound like.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
No, I don't remember.
Sir, could you put the Nintendo Switch down, please?
No. It's my religion.
Sir, I did not ask you any questions about Steely Dan.
No, Golf Story is my religion. I will put the Switch down
sir,
all my life.
No, you may not swear on a Garth Brooks box set. That fat man climbed a ladder!
Respect my God. My tubby God.
Speaking of tubby gods, Hugh Freeze. Just a real big fan, all of us here.
So, I have the...
Is he still Liberty's coach?
Yes. As of this recording, yeah.
They're working on an extension to make him one of the top G5 coaches.
If he doesn't leave to become Ole Miss's OC.
He's more of a G6 coach, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So with the last pick here, it's down to What do we have? The camellia, the Hawaii, the camellia, and the Frisco Bowl. The Frisco, the if tropical smoothie cafe words, Frisco.
You combine all three of those words, and that probably is another Beef O'Brady's menu item.
The Frisco Hawaii camellia, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good, honestly. So I began my enterprise trying to start a new Las Vegas. And I think you'll see why this clicks into place as the missing piece. I'm going to take the Hawaii Bowl, and this is going to pave the way to New Las Vegas. First of all, remember the spiritual connection these two locales share via the UNLV Hawaii rivalry, which does have a rivalry trophy. It is a golden pineapple. That is now my trinket and totem. So what do we have here with New Las Vegas? We have electricity from the Hoover Dam, from the Nuver Dam, perhaps we'll call it.
Is this Nuevo Vegas?
From or the
Nuevo Vegas?
From the Nuevo Dam. Mm. We have a metropolis of rowdy workers who just want to gamble all day long.
Thank you, Spencer.
Yeah, that's Spencer's deposition right there.
Could you read that back into the record? Could the court reporter please read that back?
Will the witness please repeat himself? So here in Nuevo Vegas, we have all the crime we could ever want, and therefore we have all the money. The one thing we don't have is connections to the region's historic criminal underworld. I have never been a criminal in the middle of the desert. Let's remember how we got here. Old Las Vegas's history was as a Mormon fort. Bugsy Siegel funneled all that Midwestern crime money through Mormon banks. Let's remember when Howard Hughes was trying to buy the state of Nevada, and his henchmen were nicknamed the Mormon Mafia. Who is playing in the 2019 Hawaii Bowl? That's right, the BYU Cougars.
And, you know, what do you need in a crime family more than a whole bunch of dudes who can work as a team and really like punching other people in the dick?
For money.
That's the real story of Christmas.
I mean, I shouldn't say this. I haven't watched them enough this year to know if they're as dick punchy now that Bronco isn't there anymore. But no, I really trust them to have a lot of follow through.
No, we're going to keep it clean, above board, all that.
So that leaves for you, the listener, the Camellia and the Frisco Bowls. We'll mention them, that they exist. The Camellia Bowl featuring FIU and Arkansas State. The Frisco Bowl with Kent and Utah.
And what's going to happen here is when this episode goes live, by the time you are listening to this, we hopefully will have a post up on the Shutdown Fullcast Reddit explaining the rules of the game and allowing you to create your own crime scenarios within the Camellia and Frisco Bowl universes. Go nuts.
And if you post them on our Reddit, you are legally not responsible if they happen.
That's right. Ryan's a lawyer, and he said so.
Yep.
He's also now your lawyer, if you're within the sound of his voice.
Okay, you can do this.
I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.